says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies.
Welcome to the show, folks. You're tuned into the Trump phenomenon. I forgot to give the date yesterday. It is today, January 12th, 2018. And thank you for joining us. I'm soloing tonight, but not really alone because I've got you. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. I hope a few of you do call in. And as we talk about the Trump phenomenon, let's see, where should we begin? Well, of course, the big story yesterday, pretty darn exciting. The freak out that the left had over Donald Trump's alleged, let's put in that adjective, alleged, salty comment about the third world. And I called them pothole countries with an S. And I guess I'll just stick with that tonight because, well, it's wonderful. Everybody loved the fact Donald Trump, this is what he does. He says what we think. And that's what we all think about these countries. And there's nothing, that's not an unjustified word. That's an appropriate word. As we were ending the show last night, I said, what should he use? A word like crummy? Crummy countries? I mean, what are we? You know, how limp-wristed are we? Crummy countries? No, that's not a good descriptive term for these countries. But Donald Trump says that Dick Durbin, this disgusting Illinois Democratic senator, this is a private meeting with a small number of legislators. Private meeting. Whatever Donald Trump said, and he did say something, and he does admit it was salty, about the people being brought into the country or the countries from which they're coming. There's a difference. But he says, I didn't use that word. Okay. Well, I love that because Donald Trump, now Dick Durbin's the guy who put the word out there. If Dick Durbin and the Democrats and CNN and the whole entire rest of the left-wing media propaganda machine, they're all disturbed that our president was, well, your president, they wouldn't say our president, that the president is using this horrible word. Oh my gosh, the party of Weinstein and what's his name? Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin and the party of these people is morally incensed that a Republican would use a term like pothole with an S. Oh, and the Democrats have gone further. They're going to introduce a motion of censure in the Congress against the president for this racist remark. Well, calling one of these countries a pothole with an S country, What is racist about that? Now, an interesting twist to this is that some Africans have come forward today to say the president got it absolutely right. Our countries are potholes with an S. And so the but you know what I love about this? Donald Trump gets it. He has his cake and eats it, too. We have our cake and eat it, too. So we love the fact that he said this word. We love him for saying it. Thank you, Dick Durbin, for putting it out there, even if he didn't say it. Dick Durbin is now responsible for putting the word out in front of, let's see, how many people have seen this story now so far in the last 24 hours? Let's see, how many people are there on planet Earth? Well, about that number of people have seen this story. So it went from about seven guys who saw it in a private meeting at the White House to 7 billion, or whatever number you want. Every person who reads the news. But now he gets to have his cake and eat it too, because now he says, I didn't use words like that. Okay, so hey, we can go with that too. So now Dick Durbin's the guy who said the horrible word. Never mind Weinstein doing his business in a potted plant. That's the Democratic standard with all the starlets. But no, Donald Trump has a manly expression of an honest appraisal of these countries. And that deserves a censure, you know, in the House is a big deal. To censure the president, how many times has this ever happened? Probably you could count it on one hand. When's the last time you heard of the president being censured by the Senate and House? So, that was kind of exciting. We might talk about that. Another story that's current here today. I got this one. Here's one. Joel Pollack reports some Africans endorse Trump's pothole with an S remarks. Here's a good one. Donald Trump. Doctor gives Donald Trump a physical. The president is in excellent health. Let's look at this story right now. That's something that concerns all of us patriots. Here's a picture of Donald Trump shaking hands with his doctor. Donald Trump went to Walter Reed Military Hospital for a physical today before leaving town for his weekend visit to Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And here we read, quote, the president's physical exam today at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center went exceptionally well. I like that, said Walter Reed physician Dr. Ronnie Jackson in a short statement. The president is in excellent health. Ah, I like that. Jackson has served as, and I like this adds something to it. Jackson, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, has served as the White House physician for three presidents, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and now Donald Trump. I love that. So this is not a physician brought in by our president. This is a physician who looked after two previous presidents. The examination includes basic blood tests, vitamin levels, heart rate, pulse, and blood pressure, as well as examinations of the ears, nose, throat, and neck. Jackson plans to deliver detailed results of the physical on Tuesday, upcoming, at the White House press briefing. I like all of that. That might be the best news story of the day. Because we all need Donald Trump. He's got 7 years to go on his spectacular phenomenon presidency. And he needs to have great staying power to keep up the energy levels he has for 7 years. And of course, we want him to have a spectacular career beyond 2024 when his successor. And may I make a nomination now for his successor? May I nominate Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio for president in 2024? I think he'd be a really good one. Donald Trump, of course, will have a lot of responsibility with his successor, let's say Jim Jordan, in the years beyond 2024. We've got a couple callers on the line, Tom in Florida and George in Texas, so we'll be getting to you gentlemen in just a moment. I want to throw a few more stories onto the fire here. Before we open up the phones, let's see here. The Here's an interesting story. This is a little bit off to the side here, but it's something I just happened upon today. I had no idea of this story whatsoever. And I know I've, you know, when we talk about Ann Coulter's great book, In Trump We Trust, and her previous book, Adios America, I talk about, you know, I read the numbers on the book off of Amazon.com, and I have made the apology several times. I hate to help out Jeff Bezos by reading off of the Amazon website, because I thought, well, Jeff Bezos, he bought the Washington Post, which is a horrible newspaper, and he got really taken to the cleaners by the Washington Post. He paid $250 million for it, and after the fact, he acknowledged, man, they took me for a ride on that price. But he owns the Washington Post, and he does a lot of pretty liberal things. And also, by the way, well, Jeff Bezos is a, how rich is he? He's the richest man in the world. Wow. He's worth over $100 billion. And he achieved this in a very short period of time. There's a graph here. Let's see if I have it somewhere readily at hand. The graph of the growth of his wealth is spectacular. Here it is. In the year 1999, he was worth $10 billion. By 2001, 2 years later, no, 2002, three, 4 years later, he was worth, he was worth 10.1 in 99. He was worth $1 billion in 2002. That's right. 90% of his fortune lost. The founder of Amazon. He grew that $1 billion that he had in 2002. By 2009, he had grown that to $6 billion. That's pretty darn good. That's even better than Donald Trump in terms of making money. But get this, folks. In the ensuing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, a mere 9 years, Jeff Bezos has increased his wealth from $6 billion to $109 billion. Almost 20 times. Unbelievable achievement. But the story, what's that great thing where you hear now the rest of the story? Who does that show? Well, it'll come to me in a moment. Maybe one of you callers. Paul Harvey. And now, for the rest of the story. Jeff Bezos. This is just an amazing story. Jeff Bezos, his birth name is not Bezos, which is a, I think, a Cuban name. That's his stepfather's name. His birth name is Jorgensen. Let's see, his birth name. Let's go to his birth name. And this is interesting. The richest man in the world, a lot of power. Jeffrey Preston Bezos, born Jorgensen. So he was born Jeff Preston Jorgensen, January 12th, 1964. His father... You're not going to believe this story. Some of you may know it, but I heard it for the first time today. His father was Ted Jorgensen. His mother, Jacqueline Giese, G-I-S-E. And I already know the full origin of the name Jorgensen. That's as Nordic a name as you can possibly have. Theodore John Jorgensen. Born in Chicago, by the way. And on his mother's side, the Giese family had lived for generations and had built up a 25,000-acre ranch near Cotulla, Texas. Maybe Cotulla. I don't know how to pronounce it. But the Jeff Bezos' father, get this, Ted Jorgensen, over the years, he last saw little Jeff when he was like 3 years old or some age like that. And at that time, when his mother, the mother of Bezos, married, I think, a Cuban named Bezos. He agreed to the name change to Bezos for his son. And then over the years, didn't have any contact with his son or his ex-wife. And then it was so many years, he forgot the name Bezos. So Ted Jorgensen was living in Arizona. He's still alive. I think he's 70. Well, we'll look it up in a moment. He's like 70 years old. He was running a bicycle shop in Arizona, had no idea that his son was the richest man in the world, had forgotten the name Bezos. Can you believe this, folks? This is a true story. This is a Paul Harvey story on steroids. And it was a reporter tracking down the biological father of Jeff Bezos, who walked into his bike shop and said, "Don't you know you're the, how does it feel to be the father of the richest man in the world?" And he said, "What? What do you mean?" And it was only after the reporter recounted details of the early childhood that he finally dawned on him, my gosh, my son is Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world. And now I don't know the rest of the story. I don't know the rest of the rest of the story. I don't know what their status is today. But this is a remarkable story of a guy who, the most remarkable story of a self-made man in our time, really. It's an amazing story. There's a great kinship there in achievement between Jeff Bezos, Jeff Jorgensen, and Donald Trump. So I don't know that the two guys need to be that as far apart as they are on the ideological spectrum. There may be some hope for Jeff Jorgensen Bezos and the richest man in the world, past Bill Gates in the fast lane. And he's going to go farther. Get this. Are you ready for this? The possibility is being entertained by people that Jeff Bezos may become the first trillionaire. Wow. And that's not, how is that far-fetched? Because Amazon is growing, like a rocket ship. He increased his fortune 20-fold from 2009. In 9 years, he grew by 2,000%, 20 times. Could he do the same and grow tenfold to $1 trillion over the next 9 years? Why not? And his basic insight, this is a Donald Trump kind of an insight. I don't remember at what point. I got to study him more and read some of his books, but he went to Princeton, a straight-A student, incredible mind. Yeah, he inherited that, incredible mind. From the bicycle shop guy who didn't know his son was the richest man on earth. And I don't even know whether they've met. I don't know whether they've actually set eyes on each other since then. That all happened, I think, in June of this year. So the fundamental idea, this brilliant idea, he gave up his very good career and other things that he was doing, very brilliant student and all this kind of stuff. He said it just dawned on him. Oh, he was dealing in stocks and bonds and things like this on Wall Street. And he noticed that the internet was growing not by hundreds of percent, but by thousands of percent. He said, wow, this is where the future is. Thousands of percentage growth. And so he said, do you remember this, folks? Some of you may remember this. He said, you know what? I'm going to start a company selling books online. That's all, just books. He did. And at the early days of his business, Amazon, I got to read the story as to how he came up with that name. I almost got to read it today. I didn't read it. This is such a fascinating story. He was delivering the books, I think in a Chevy Blazer, delivering the books, taking them to the post office himself. And that was the beginning. You may have ordered one of those books, and Jeff Bezos himself may have taken it in his Chevy Blazer to the post office. I'll have more right after this break. Stay tuned.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprise 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back, folks. And, this is such an instructive story. I love it. And, you know, this man is going to be powerful in everybody's life. $109 billion. And Donald Trump has grown Jeff Bezos' fortune by the stock market's gone from, what was it at? It's gone from 18,000 to 25,000. Arguably, Donald Trump, the Trump phenomenon, the Trump boom, has made, $30 billion for Jeff Bezos, or some very large sum of money. So the two guys could be on good terms on that score. But yes, I was reading during the break. It was in a June of 2017 article. Here's what I read in a June 2017 article. This is at ronunz.com. Ron Unz being a Californian who writes some pretty interesting stuff. For a brief period, Jorgensen remembered the Bezos name, but through the years, he forgot about it. And because he had signed a paper agreeing to the change in the name of his son, the legal name. And dropped completely out of touch with his ex-wife, Gise, G-I-S-E, very pretty woman. There's a picture of her. And Jeff Bezos has a very appreciatory tweet to his mother saying, "I owe everything to you," a very touching tweet to his mother, and his son. Jorgensen's absence from Bezos' life was so complete that in a 1999 interview with Wired, Bezos said of Jorgensen, "I've never met him," although in reality, he lived with his biological father for the first year of his life. Of course, none of us remember our first year. Bezos said, "The reality, as far as I'm concerned, is that my dad is my natural father. The only time I ever think about it genuinely is when a doctor asks me to fill out a form," said Bezos in 1999. Jorgensen, for his part, had a nearly identical attitude about Bezos. However, Brad Stone, who's a reporter at Bloomberg, managed to find Ted Jorgensen, who's now 69 years old, who owns a bike shop in Glendale, Arizona. And listen to this, folks. Here's how Jorgensen reacted when Stone introduced himself. Quote, "He had no idea what I was talking about. Jorgensen said he didn't know who Jeff Bezos was and was baffled by my suggestion that he was the father of this famous CEO. Stone jogged Jorgensen's memory, trotting out details about Bezos and his mother. Says Stone, quote, "The old man's face," wait a minute, I'm 69, I'm an old man. "The old man's face flushed with recognition. Is he still alive?" he asked, not yet fully comprehending. Bezos' biological father had disconnected so thoroughly from Bezos' life that not only did he not remember his name, not only did he not realize his son was one of the richest men in the world, he wasn't even sure if his son was still alive. He said, "I wasn't a good father or a husband." He eventually quit drinking, got his act together, and opened his bike shop. He's married, but had no other children in his life beyond Bezos. A family friend told Stone later that Jorgensen felt overwhelmed with sadness and regret. He wants to get in touch with Bezos, but it's unclear if that will ever happen. Now, that's as of mid-June this year. So it hadn't happened as of then. So what a story. And a bunch of people, people talk about Jeff Bezos, say he's Jewish and this is Jewish money and so on. And I had heard that. Not at all. Neither his mother nor his father are Jewish. They're great white folks that are, I think I'll do an ancestry tree for both of them and trace it back as far as I can. I hope I'm related to the Jorgensens or the Gieses, but I'll let you know how that turns out. But pretty interesting story that on Jeff Bezos. Let's go to our callers, Tom in Florida. Tom, what do you think of that story about Jeff Bezos?
Well, yeah, James, it's kind of interesting you brought that up, because if you want to check it out, Jeff Bezos went to Palmetto Senior High School, I believe, in Miami. You might want to check that out. It's right down the street. I know right where is that. A matter of fact, I could tell you a lot of stories about Palmetto Senior High School. I believe that's where Bezos did go to high school. You may want to check that out.
Okay.
And he was in Miami, and I believe his father is a Cuban, I believe. That was the story, correct.
Yes, Cuban father.
Of course, you know Miami's famous for that. And it's funny you bringing this up, James, because, he started out, like you say, selling books on Amazon, I remember, and it just exploded. And you know, what he did is one of the most amazing stories of financial history, I guess you could say, in this country, for sure.
He attended Miami Palmetto High School.
I got family that works there. Matter of fact, I know somebody who used to see him in the school, James. I got more to tell you. I got a lot of stuff to tell you.
Okay, we'll come right back with Tom after this break.
You got it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat?
Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
We're back, folks. Thanks for tuning us in here on the Trump Phenomenon. Tom in Florida, this is a small world, my friend. That high school just down the street from you, let me look at the name again, Miami Palmetto High School. Very interesting.
Yeah, James, I could tell you all about it. I could have stories that blow your mind. But I'll get back to real quickly what's going on here in Miami.
Oh, and let me just mention that at that Miami Palmetto High School, Jeff Bezos, son of Ted Jorgensen.
I believe at 82 he graduated.
He was, yes, wow, you got it. He was high school valedictorian and a National Merit Scholar. Very hard to be a National Merit Scholar. And he went to Princeton, where he majored in electrical engineering and computer science. So... and then he dreamed up this idea. You mentioned that just selling the books, but then Jeff Bezos was just thinking, and he said, you know what? He asked his customers. He's delivering the books in his own Chevy Blazer to the post office, and then he sends out a survey to 1,000 of his customers, saying, well, what do you want me to send you next? What do you want us to sell in the Amazon store? And the replies came back, you know, it was everything on earth, everything and anything imaginable they wanted him to sell. So he said, let me think. Hey, maybe I could sell everything. And that's exactly what's happened. He's the only guy that thought of doing that. He's the only guy that's done it. Amazon is a gigantic corporation now. It's mega monster, mega, you know, megasaurus. It's huge, and it's growing, you know, by leaps and bounds. So, you know, as I say, we might see the first trillionaire here. This is a very interesting man. You know, he's one of us. He's part of our people, the richest man on earth. Go ahead.
Yeah, James, Bezos, when he was a young boy, I remember he used to go to Sunnyland Park, which is right down by the high school there. The park was called Sunnyland, and I remember people talking. That's where he started out. I believe he played baseball for a little while and stuff. He wasn't really into sports, but I heard stories that he'd go over the park there. And even at that time, he is somebody, actually I know, who knew a friend of his, that he was always in China, you know, think of ideas, making money. So that's what happened. He did go to Palmetto Senior High School in Miami. And he was an amazing guy as far as, and you bring the name Jurgensen up. Well, there was a great quarterback back in the 60s, Sonny Jurgensen, a redhead, and they call him the redheaded bomber. He had a cannon on him, as for an arm. Never had a good team, but I wonder if they're related. But Sonny Jurgensen was a great NFL quarterback, in the Hall of Fame. So that's just something else you might want to, I don't know if they're related, but.
Well, I'll look up his ancestry, but you know, I guess the important point is that Jeff Bezos Jorgensen is one of us, and his accomplishment, his pluck, his imagination, his innovation. Well, surprise, surprise! It comes from the European genius, Jeff Bezos, and now all we got to do is help him out. You know. Whatever, maybe it started at Miami Palmetto High School. We just got to help him lose some of that left-wing liberal programming and apply his genius.
Well, James,
to
you know, I yeah, think, I, James, I think Donald Trump should try to get him on the golf course, because I believe I heard he played golf a little bit, Bezos, when he was in high school. Somebody told me that. I think it was Mike, a friend of mine. But I believe that maybe Donald Trump and him should go out on a golf outing. That way, that's one way Trump makes a lot of deals on the golf course, and he's great at that. So maybe him and Bezos can actually get a little conservative on the golf course, because I can guarantee you 99% of the PGA players are with Donald Trump.
Donald Trump does own the golf course just down the street from Miami Palmetto High School, Doral, which is a Doral golf course. So that might be a good place to do all that.
It's a beautiful place. Donald Trump's done an amazing job with that place. It's absolutely beautiful. Actually, it's Ivanka. I walked down the street from there. It's just a beautiful place. And, you know, everything Trump punches is beautiful. But, James, here's the reason I called you real quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
Look, about the Haitians, James, I live in South Florida, and Bezos was around at that time. Maybe he don't realize, but back in them days, in the early 80s, you know, there's some wonderful Haitians. But James, they were dead chickens. There was dead ghosts. It was insane here back in the 80s and 90s with the Haitians, with all this voodoo crap they were pulling and all this. It was a third world banana republic here in Miami, as what you well know. We had the Muriel Boatlift. Right after that, we had the Haitian invasion. It was unbelievable, James. And Donald Trump is absolutely right. Donald Trump didn't say not derogatory. Donald Trump just said that your country is an asshole, and he's absolutely correct. And the same, look at the movie Black Hawk Down, James. Look at the movie Black Hawk Down. Everybody
I have
got to look at that movie. If you look at Black Hawk Down, that's what's going on in Africa, basically.
And yes, it is.
Look what they're doing to the white South Africans. What they're doing to the white South Africans in South Africa is disgraceful. Matter of fact, I say bring all those white South Africans right here to Miami. Bring them here to Broward County or Florida. And by the way, James, before you do go out with another caller, do you know, you want to hear something really ironic to you? And Jeff Bezos, I'd like for you to hear it, listen to this. On the Miami-Dade County Commission, when Jeff Bezos was going to Palmetto Senior High School, we had 9 white commissioners and a mayor of Dade County whose name was Steve Clark. You can check that out on your computer, Steve Clark. Miami was running like a smooth machine, James, as far as financial things were going back in the early 80s. That was Steve Clark. Of course, he had the Muriel Boatlift he had to deal with. But guess what, James? There's not one white male on the Miami-Dade County Commission, and Broward County only has 4. Broward County still have 11 white males. There's only 4. The Haitians, matter of fact, we got 2 Haitians on the Miami-Dade County Commission. Broward County, I believe, has 3. and there's not one white male, and there's your attitude. And when Bezos was going to Palmetto, and guess what? The government of Dade County doesn't have no white representation other than when we have one white woman, and I believe she's Jewish. We don't have no representation. Here, and James, Miami used to be called the Magic City. I wonder if Mr. Bezos, Mr. Jorgensen, remember that. Miami, when I was a little kid, I remember every Jackie Gleason show and all this. It was called the Magic City. Miami was the most, it was a magic city. And you if you came to Miami, you'd freak out.
Well, I have been. I met Ron Paul down there in Little Cuba, Little Havana. And I forget the name of the restaurant, but it's one where all those meetings take
Versailles,
place in Little Havana.
Versailles restaurant.
Well, hey, buddy. Thank you. Small world.
Like I said, I think Donald Trump and Bezos ought to go on the golf course and discuss some financial stuff to help the country out financially.
It's amazing.
Trump's doing a wonderful job. Doing a great job.
It's amazing.
This country's off the charts because of Trump.
Yeah, all right. All right, buddy. See you next time. All right, let's go to... Thank you. Let's go to... let's take a new caller, and then we're going to go to George in Texas. David in San Francisco, you're on the air.
Yeah, how are you, James? I'm not a new caller. I've called twice, I think, before. You've had your show for, what, maybe a year or two?
I've been on this station, I think, for close on 10 years.
Oh, that long? I didn't realize.
Station, well, not station network, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. I pretty much disagree with your whole angle on Bezos. You know, although it might be admired that the guy has... you know, become the richest man in the world by delivering, you know, books in by the internet. You know, I'm a real book nut, a history nut, beyond belief. I'm very much addicted to books and, you know, can certainly, you know, appreciate a good book scout. The idea that he's basically cornering the market on everything, and he's creating this race to the bottom, by him lowering the price on everything and then basically forcing all of the delivery systems of the world to kowtow to him, you know, he's basically creating a monopoly, and everybody knows that monopoly is the worst thing in the world.
Well, and, that's a valid, David. I do remember your previous calls. I can't tell, you know, that you, all it says is David in San Francisco. So, yes, thank you for calling again. That's a valid argument you're making. Let me give you a counter argument. And let me compare Jeff Bezos Jorgensen to Donald John Trump. What is the great thing that Donald Trump did that none of the other politicians in our lifetime, none of them did? And what is the reason that he succeeded so spectacularly? I'll put it all in one little sentence. Donald Trump gave us what we wanted. And what did he do? First, he found out what we wanted. Now, one of my callers today mentioned, very importantly, we were talking about Ann Coulter's book, Adios America, which was published on June 1st, 2015. Donald Trump walked down or came down the escalator with Melania on June 16th. And my caller brilliantly was saying, I believe Donald Trump read Ann Coulter's book, Adios America, which is about one single subject. Don't give in on immigration. Please protect our borders. That's what the whole book was about. And what does Donald Trump do? He listened. He read Ann Coulter's book. He listened to America, to you, and he found out what you wanted, which is you wanted a nation with borders above all else. And in that
speech, that's not what I want.
Well, okay, well, not you, but the 63 other million who did vote for him. That's what we wanted. That's what we want now. And that's what we're going to hold him to. But that,
well,
he gave us what we wanted. Now, let me – no, hang on. It's not preposterous. Now, let me compare that to Jeff Bezos. What is Jeff Bezos' secret of success? He realized – he said, I'm going to set up a business giving people what they want. I'm going to listen to them. He did. He sent out a survey to 1,000 of his people. His customers, he said, what do you want? They told him, and he said, I'm going to build a company. I want to take a chance and build a company that does just that. I'll sell you anything online. And the result, $109 billion later, that single brilliant and good idea, and that single risk-taking by him has made him, in a very short period of time, he founded Amazon in 1994. And he was down to only $1 billion value in, I forget what year it was, 2003. So in a very short time, you know, in which you and I have made a few thousand dollars, he's made over $100 billion with one great idea. Donald, and there's a great similarity between the two men. Now tell me why everything I just said was preposterous. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, if you remember that, I'm a big one for going to auctions. And in a bad economy, you can get mountains of stuff for a dollar. I mean, mountains of stuff. I remember once getting a refrigerator, a motorcycle, enough roofing.
Okay, but get to your point. This is beside the point.
I got all of this stuff for $1.
Okay.
Now, imagine the 2006
what
crash.
Is your beef? What is your
2007
beef?
Crash. Jeff Bezos can buy up mountains full of stuff and then sell them for full price on the Internet.
Okay.
Undercutting every small business that's trying to survive.
David, that's not what he's done. You're making all of this up. He's not buying up mountains of stuff for cheap and then selling it. In fact, one of the things he bought, Washington Post, he paid $250 million for that, which was probably about $250 million too much. It was probably had a negative net worth when he bought it.
And remember that newspapers were folding at the time. The Washington Post only basically exists because of it's in D.C.
Yeah,
you
okay,
know,
but David, here's all I'm getting. Here's all I'm getting.
In D.C.
David, what I'm getting here is that you resent Jeff Bezos' success, and you're attributing it to all sorts of things.
His success. I'm telling you, though, it's monopoly. And everybody knows monopoly is a bad idea.
Well, you know
it's
what?
Simple as that. It's nothing personal against Bezos. It's nothing. The guy has figured out.
David, you got it wrong. When he's delivering books in his Chevy Blazer, he does not have a monopoly on anything. He has a good idea that the public likes, just like Donald Trump. And he wins with it. It's what you're calling monopoly is winning. But anyway, David, thank you very much for your thoughts.
America is not an issue about winning. And in fact, when I heard that...
David, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to George in Texas. George, you're on the air.
Hello.
Come in, George.
How you doing?
Good. Having a hard time getting David off, but go for it.
Well, anyway, but, you know, Donald Trump did mention Amazon in one of his interviews in the early parts of his campaign being a monopoly. That it was hurting brick-and-mortar retailers, and he has criticized Amazon for making a deal with the post office for the shipping when the post office is in the red.
I'm not a cheerleader for Jeff Bezos. And I remember distinctly Donald Trump saying, hey, look, Amazon, it's not fair that they're not paying sales tax, for example. And I think they are, actually. Many states, they are paying sales tax. But he said, you know, they're... One of the original things, this is genius on Jeff Bezos' part, when he was, he didn't have any business at all. He was thinking about, he noticed a Supreme Court decision exempting online sellers from state sales taxes. He noticed that. He said, hey, there's a business opportunity in there. I'm sure he was right. I have family members who've worked for Amazon, so I don't, it's not the best place in the world to work. It's not the highest pay and so on, et cetera. And as with any huge corporation, there are all kinds of people belly aching that they should be making more and envying the large stockholder Bezos. And I guess he's the chief executive as well. But so I'm not saying the place is perfect, but I thought just very interesting. First of all, that Jeff Bezos is one of our people, George. He's one of us. He's family. He is by far the richest guy in the world. He based that on something that's a genetic trait with our people, which is genius, inventiveness, creativity. He has not built Amazon by cheating people or... yes, he's undercut people's prices, but sort of like, that's how that is called winning in business. You can't expand your business.
Walmart did it for a long time, too.
And the Walton family, the Waltons as a family, also our people, one of our listeners to this show went, his Boy Scout troop assistant scoutmaster was Sam Walton, one of the listeners to the show right now. Sam Walton was his Boy Scout assistant manager, and he said, hey, Sam Walton was a good old boy. And he said, and James Walton, his son, who's now one of like 10 richest people in the world, as are all the other Walton children, they're also our people, interestingly. That's a heck of a story. We got a lot of money, us white folks. Let me see what we're doing here with the breaks. We got one more break. Stay in there, George. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all costs if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way.
We're back, folks.
What I live for is a chance to change and be.
And George is with us there in Texas. Or no, George, are you with me still?
Yes, I am. I got one more comment. You know, President, I know he didn't make the remark about certain third world countries. You know, the thing is, I'd be asking the question of about Jerry Brown. I said, why is everybody leaving your asshole state? You know, because you look at downtown Los Angeles, it looks like one big giant asshole. And the thing is, it's like, it's not just, I mean, I hear people on Facebook, you know, they're getting harassed by the police because they ain't filed a permit for the city because they're trying to liquidate their assets so they can leave the state before it costs an arm and a leg to register their car. I mean, it's impossible to live there. I mean, it's one big giant asshole. I mean, I would point at Jerry Brown. You know, well, your sanctuary state's a giant asshole.
Well, okay, all right. I grew up in California, so just as Tom was an expert on Miami, and I used to live in Florida too, but I grew up in California, so know a lot about the place. And the California is, it's got some of the worst problems. It really does show why an immigration invasion from the third world can create a hellhole, because these people bring the hellhole from whence they came. They bring that hellhole to us, and California has that on display. However, you know, California was one of the most beautiful. It's why my Midwestern Nebraska parents moved and stayed in California, because it was so beautiful. And a lot of that beauty is still there. It's not as far into the pit as, you know, you might be thinking there, George, but it really does show that demography is destiny, and California has gone majority minority. That is the majority in California. We were more than 91% of the population when I was a boy. And now we are way less than 50% of the population of California. And
well,
have
you know
lost.
The thing is,
yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, I was raised most of my life in Florida, in West Central Florida. You know, and I was blessed to meet a lot of people who came from Cuba. And not only I learned communism from high school, I learned firsthand experience living under the Castro regime. And, you know, Cuban people are wonderful people. They were hardworking. They don't bring the communist values here. They try to make the best out of it. A lot of them became very successful. They got
yes.
out the welfare state.
Yes. Now, the Cubans, now keep in mind, the Cubans who came out right after Castro's takeover in 1959 and 60 were a particular group of Cubans who were driven out. They were the losers in that big civil war. And we're running out of time, sadly. You've got this great topic, George. We'll get into it more in our Sunday show from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here. See you all then.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.